Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Good to see each one of you this morning, and just trust you've already been somewhat blessed, refreshed, encouraged, and we're just going to continue right along the vein of God's Spirit, God's Word, delving into His Word. We're going to look at something Peter said as a word of exhortation to us believers as the family of God. He said, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." All right, powerful word. I love that. Verse 10 again, he says, "He who would love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." We're going to look at one more scripture kind of in conjunction with that. This is a proverb, a few different translations. New King James says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The Message said, "Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose." And then finally, the New Living says, "Those who love to talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or it can nourish life." You know, as we look at these scriptures together, we can see that what we say is very powerful. In fact, you see here in verse 10, "He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from..." And you see that word, refrain. You know, we all have the temptation to want to go negative, but there's a refraining. And, of course, the proverb we see here that words can cut two different directions. They can cut in a direction of death. They can cut in a direction of life. And this morning, the message that I want to get across is simply called Speaking Life, okay? Speaking Life. And we're going to look through the scriptures. You know, it's really what the Bible says that has authority and value and gives us godly instruction in life. And it is amazing when we begin to look into the scriptures, what the scriptures have to specifically say about speaking life. You know, we have incredible power that transcends our wallet or our, you know, social standing or all that. There is tremendous power in the words that we speak, the things that we can say, words that can go into people's lives and touch lives, change lives. You have that power. And it is a powerful gift that God has given us. And as we look into it again, I just want to kind of the second week in a row here, just let you know that I am preaching, ministering, teaching this morning very much as an encouragement and a stirring up to myself as well, too. You know, last week we looked at our spiritual worldview, and we looked at it in conjunction with all the election stuff going on, where we can get caught up in ideologies and things like that, and if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up and orientated politically that we lose sight of who we are in God and Christ and the promises of God, the bigger picture of our citizenship in heaven. Not that we're not engaged, but that we have something, a city that's even better, and understanding our stability and our strength in God. So we keep our eye on the ball spiritually, as it were. We keep our mind set on things above, and from that place of spiritual strength, then we pray and we engage the system. But my life is, you know, teetering on whether a certain one bill or one person gets elected or not. It isn't. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world, and he'll still be in me, and he'll still be greater than he that's in the world, no matter who's elected, no matter what policies are changed, you know, whatever. I start from that place of spiritual strength, so that spiritual worldview, okay? Well, this other one this morning, too, is speaking life. You know, when you do engage and you do get involved, or you begin to understand, or, you know, even, you know, begin to look at the process and the things that are going on, you may find yourself spending hours in front of the TV listening to political speeches and things like that that are not always speaking life, okay? In fact, they may be speaking, you know, all kinds of things, even death and personal attacks and things like that. And if you're not careful, you know, the scripture says bad company corrupts good character. And as you're sitting in front of the TV hour after hour after hour and watching that stuff, you might want to take inventory about what comes out of your mouth. I had to do that a little bit this week and just think, wow, whoa, hey, but you know what? It kind of sounds like what I've been listening to all week. And it just kind of gets on you. It'll kind of affect you. It'll, you know, without even necessarily realizing it, if you really, you know, kind of get into it. So this is almost kind of like my, I don't know if you'd call them part two of my election cycle sermons this morning. Things to help us and keep us and maintain a spiritual bearing as we go through the natural political cycles and election cycles of life. And so I really want to talk this morning about speaking life. Speaking life. Really being aware of what's coming out of our mouth, being aware of what God wants to come out of our mouth, because whether we realize it or not, you know, once we begin to forget, or we begin to mimic, or we begin to be corrupted by other people speaking, just kind of speaking in those veins, it affects us spiritually. It affects our attitudes. It affects our faith. And so, as we're looking this morning at speaking life, we're going to look at just a few different aspects of that and how speaking life relates to our lives. And of course, the first aspect of speaking life we want to look at, talk about, is speaking life to God, okay? Speaking life to God. And that's actually what we did here this morning, just a few minutes ago. Praise and worship is a powerful way that we speak life to God. And we can see it from the word, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to our God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And as we talk about just speaking life, speaking directly to God from our heart, there are different forms of speaking life that we can look at and consider. And let me just kind of say this from the start. One of the powerful things about reading the book of Psalms is that you see all different kinds of prayers. You'll see prayers, you'll see thanksgiving, you'll see worship, you'll see the psalmist just beside himself, angry, crying out to God. You'll see him in all different moods and forms, but these are all psalms. They're all expressed to God. And as we're talking about speaking life to God, I don't want to have a one-dimensional perspective of what that means. Really, the big part of speaking life to God is just speaking to God, talking to God, not giving God the cold shoulder. The moment that we give God the silent treatment is when we stop speaking life. And you know, God just wants to hear our heart. He just wants to hear our heart cry. And it's amazing how when you, again, look at these psalms, you see a person being able to honestly express what's in them and getting it out. And when you see it modeled, it's very inspiring to help each of us do the same thing. So we're going to look at a few different psalms as it relates to speaking life to God. The first one is a psalm of thanksgiving. He says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." I so love that psalm of thanksgiving. It's really one of those, you know, it really takes you 30,000 feet up and makes you go, wow, God is great. He's good. He made us, not we ourselves. He's God Almighty. You know, it's good to know the loving, nurturing care of God in a personal way as your good shepherd, but there are times you need to remember that God is God, and he is powerful, and he made us. We're the sheep of his pasture. We enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving that he is God alone. You know, there are times that we just express thanksgiving to God, speaking life to God in the form of thanksgiving. Also, just kind of an excerpt from a psalm, Psalm 86, 8 through 10. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. You know, the previous psalm was kind of talking about God and who he is and how great he is. It's kind of talking in third person about God. This gets into worship. This begins talking to God about him and who he is. It's really a worship form. This is where you're going first person as you're worshiping, you're singing him, you're talking to him and ministering to him in song. The third one I want to look at is just, we'd say it's a simple form of prayer. And that's where Psalm 25 says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Okay? What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about speaking life. And a big way that we speak life to God is through prayer. It's through worship. It's through thanksgiving. These are just ways we express our love for God. Now, this morning, we all came here with our issues of life and things that were struggles and all the stuff that we're going through and whatnot. But did you notice just that for that, that moment, that time that we spent just worshiping God, all of a sudden the focus got off those things and the focus just got on God. That's powerful. And that's what Jesus said, looking unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Do you know that your problems are not the finisher of your faith? Ultimately, Jesus is the finisher of your faith. He's the one who began this good work in you, and he's the one who's going to be faithful to complete it. But there's a looking unto him. And that's what speaking life to God does. It causes our focus to get off the issues and get on to him. The psalmist in another place said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, I'm magnifying the Lord. I'm obviously not making him any bigger or smaller. He is who he is. He's the eternal. But what am I doing? I'm magnifying his presence in my mind, in my thinking. I'm making him bigger than my problems. I'm making him bigger than my struggles. I'm making him bigger than all that stuff. And that's when there is power. There is a power released when I am blessing him. I'm not seeking to be blessed. I'm blessing him. And in blessing him, I get blessed. It's an amazing thing. As I set my mind on him, the Bible says there's a spiritual mindedness that just causes life and peace. As we sing those words off the screen about who he is, there's faith that rises in our hearts that comes simply by seeing, hearing, and singing the word of God. There is such a powerful impartation of that strength and that life as we just endeavor to speak life to God. And so, as we're talking about speaking life to God, I want to bring it around here just very quickly, because one of the powerful things that worship does, and again, you've experienced it somewhat this morning, but you got to realize that what we did this morning is not restricted, you know, to a half hour between 10 and 10:30, right? Praise God. We can do what we did here this morning anytime. We can turn on that CD in our car or at home, or we can on purpose take time and just worship God. It's really a powerful tool of speaking life when we worship God. That's what the saints in heaven, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power and majesty. We're going to be doing that through eternity, speaking and declaring the goodness of God. We can do that right now. It is such a powerful way, and I'll just share in my own life personally. This is a powerful way to get off the self-seeking merry-go-round, all right? I don't know if you know what I mean by self-seeking, but when I say self-seeking, I'm referring to the victim complexes, the hurts, the pains, the why me, all the stuff that can cause us to become very internalized and dark and deep and painful and, you know, all the different accusing voices and things like that. You can get on that thing. You know, and a lot of times, and I've related this story before, one time I was on the treadmill running, all of a sudden I'm running on the treadmill, and right while I'm running on the treadmill, I'm having an argument with somebody in my mind. Have you ever done that? Had an argument with somebody in your mind. They're not there. They don't even know about it, but you're arguing with them. And I remember I'm going, and I'm thinking, they say that, and I say this, and they say that, and I'm about seven levels deep, and I'm winning, all right? And right there, I just sense the Spirit of God rise up in me and say, just praise me. Just praise me. And I just thought, wow, praise you right now? Just praise you? And my first thought, my first inclination, just that I spoke from my heart to the Lord is, Lord, first, let me bring closure to this, then I'll praise you. And then he said something very profound that I've been corrected by and kept in line by through the years. He said very specifically to my heart and my spirit, he said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. You don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I thought, wow. And all of a sudden, just right there, leaving that argument, leaving that fight, because it engages part of you, it engages your flesh, anger, hatred, wrath, strife. It's part of the pull of the body that we have to deal with. But all of a sudden, you just begin to say, praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You love me. You're gracious. All of a sudden, there's mercy and compassion that just happens when you begin to worship him and see and sense and remember his love and his compassion for you. All of a sudden, I don't want to fight anymore. I want to forgive. I want to be merciful. But I could just praise him, worship him. But that's the key. You get on that merry-go-round of self-seeking and all that stuff, and you think, if I can just get the right answer and get the right solution and get the right closure and get it all the people to do the right things, then the merry-go-round will stop. That merry-go-round will never stop. The answer to getting off, the answer to the merry-go-round of self-seeking is not to try to ride it to a stop. It's to get off it. Gravity is like a law of sin and death. It'll always be here, but there's a law of the Spirit of life that'll allow me to rise above it and fly above it. When there are those spiritual forces, there is always something that's going to keep you on there. But there's something about looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Not looking inward, but I'm looking unto Jesus. And when you're looking unto him, if there's something in you that you need to know about, if there is something in you that you need to fix or change, you'll see it in the light of his love. You'll see it in the light of his word. It's not denial. I know there's adjustments. I know I'm going to be changing. I'm continually being conformed into the image of Christ. There's adjustments going on all the time for the rest of my life. But I find them as I'm looking unto Jesus. I find them in the green pastures and the still waters. And that's what James 3 says. If your wisdom is full of hatred and strife and wrath, confusion and every evil worker there, it's not from God, it's not from above, but the wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's full of mercy, good fruits, it's without hypocrisy, and it's sown in peace of them that make peace. You know the sound of his voice, and I'm not in denial about my situation and stuff like that, but my answers are going to be found in his eyes as I'm worshiping him and I'm getting my focus on him. And it is an amazing thing, time and time again, to break that power of self-seeking simply by taking time to worship him. It gets your eyes off yourself, gets your eyes off of you, and it gets them onto him. And in his light, you see light. And pretty soon, you, in that place of worship, you begin to pray. You begin to talk to him. All of a sudden, there's green pastures, and things begin to happen. It's organic. It's not a seven-step process. It's just a life process where you begin to let him in. And so the first area, speaking life, that I just want to look at this morning is speaking life to God. And the cool thing about that is when you begin to speak life to God and you begin to have that worship time, like this morning, there's a fellowship time and things like that. And all of a sudden, things like fear and hatred and anxiety and all that stuff, it's not like, oh, I'm not going to be thinking fear. All of a sudden, when that comes in the middle of your worship, it's like, wait, now that's interrupting this. It's not like I'm consciously saying, no, I shouldn't fear. That's those thoughts, they're interrupting my fellowship with God. And ultimately, when you begin to speak life to God, he wants us in that place of fellowship where we're talking to him, living for him, and enjoying just the sweet presence of his spirit. And when those thoughts would come to try to distract us, we go, wait, no. I don't want to interfere with this. You know, it's not just five rules of resisting fear. It's different context. It's like, praise God. Lord, I know you don't want me to be afraid. I know that. I'm in fellowship with you. But that really comes when we begin to on purpose speak to God, seek God, get in that place of fellowship, get in that place of worship. And once you get there, praise God, there's a natural inherent protection that you want just to keep it and keep it flowing, keep it going. And there's a talking, a continually talking to God throughout the day. And that's what he wants. It's not a 24/7 intense worship session like we had this morning, but there is a heart attitude toward God where I'm continually in fellowship with God. His presence is with me, it's in me, and he cares about me all the time. And so there's just that mentality, that kind of that attitude of prayer, that attitude of fellowship that I have with God. But the important thing is to realize that, you know, I don't have to bring closure to the enemy's junk. I don't have to bring closure and live a perfect life in the natural. I don't have to bring closure to my flesh, my failures, before I can worship God, I can love God, go before the throne of grace, receive his mercy and grace to help me as a starting point. Praise God. And then I can, you know, that's what we were talking about too, about that church in Revelation where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If anyone opens the door, I will come in and I'll dine with him, I'll eat with him." And that was not written to unbelievers, it was written to believers. And he's really talking about a church. You know, he'd say, "These are the things you're doing good, these are the things you need to work on." You know, he'd kind of go through those church. And this one church, you know, they're doing some things good, but they needed fellowship. Sometimes church needed to get back to their first love. And he's saying, "I want to come in, I want to dine in fellowship." And a lot of times we'll hear him knocking at the door, and we'll think, I've got a messy house, I've got to get these rooms cleaned up, and then I'll let him in. You know? That's kind of what we think in the natural. That's the way with our heart. Oh, I know I've got some areas of compromise here, and I'm not quite doing that. I know that I can't quite get into close fellowship right now, Lord. No, this is when we really need to let him in. Because we try to clean up those rooms, and we just can't clean up those rooms. We never get them quite cleaned up enough where we feel good enough to let Jesus in and inspect them. And he's not there to be inspector. In fact, he's there to help you clean up those rooms. You can clean up those rooms through Christ who strengthens you, not through Christ who's standing out the door knocking to try to get access to help you. We have to let him in. And so these are the places of our heart where we're just by faith, yes, here I am, Lord, warts and all and everything I'm going through. Come on in. I'm looking to you. I'm speaking life to you. I love you. Fellowship, let's go. So there is a speaking life to God, and there is power. There is power in speaking life to God because he is worthy of our praise and glory and honor, and there is something about that worship. The Holy Spirit loves when we worship God, and he'll manifest himself in a powerful way. So speaking life to God. Then we want to talk about speaking life to people. This is another tremendous truth in the Word of God. I'm just going to go ahead and look at a few scriptures here along these lines. Speaking life to people. What does the Bible actually say about that? Ephesians chapter 4, 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Praise God. That's powerful. You know, maturity comes as we speak the truth in love. We found out in 1 Corinthians 13 that you could speak in the tongues of men and of angels. You could have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all that stuff. But without love, you're nothing. It's a zero. But with love, truth with love is very powerful. Very powerful. In fact, it has a growth. It has an effect that causes us to grow up. When we speak the truth in such a way that it's love, it's inspiring. It causes people to want more and to want to know more about God. And that's something that happens, not just the preacher preaching the word on a Sunday morning, but your discussions before and after service and throughout the week, the fellowship of the believers. Tremendous opportunity. It says, like, by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. That's the interaction and the fellowship of believers that transcends the Sunday morning sermon. There is a truth in love that causes life and growth and just incredible blessing to the body of Christ. Every part does its share. We all have something from our hearts that we can impart, that we can give. It goes on later in that chapter to say this: let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Man, God is all about edifying communication. No corrupt word, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. He wants edifying words, in other words, that it may impart grace to the hearers. He's talking about speaking and speaking to each other. And you know, there's kind of a good little side note here too, where he goes and say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, when we do speak corrupting things about people, it's not just words that bring them down. It also grieves the Spirit of God when we speak that corrupting communication. You need to understand this too from the other side. When you've been on the wrong side, when you've been on the hurting side of corrupt communication, you know, sometimes people will say and they'll do things against us and it hurts us and we feel bad and we're frustrated and we're mad and we're saying, where was God? He's grieving right along with you. He was sad too. He was also grieving. If somebody did, you know, I'm just saying on the side, if you've been on that end, if you've been on the wounded side of corrupt communication, God was grieved too. He didn't want those words imparted or said either. Important to remember that. Because if we don't remember that, sometimes we'll blame God. Say, No, he was sad too. He didn't like it. He doesn't like you being torn down. He doesn't like you tearing down other people, but he doesn't like you being torn down either. He's grieved by that. And all of a sudden, and you know it. I mean, if you've lived for God any time, you can kind of see the Holy Spirit's in you. When you say something, it's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, you know that. We've all been there. We've all done it right. We've done it wrong. Okay, but we realize that those words that we say, man, they are very, very powerful. And so what does he go on to say? He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Sounds so much in the vein of that original scripture we looked at. You know, if you're going to love life and see good days, refrain your tongue from evil. And so we see that we are here to speak into each other's lives. And the cool thing of it is, it's not just the rule to speak into each other's lives, but we can see that when we do it, we have the ability to cause growth in our own lives, in our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a powerful truth. Continuing on in Ephesians, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So here again, we see another form of speaking, all right? This is Bible this morning. It says to speak to one another in songs, hymns, spiritual songs. So I thought I'd speak to you this morning a spiritual song. This is just one of the kind of the contemporary Christian songs, but it's a spiritual song. And it goes, some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Though it's crazy, amazing, we can turn a heart with the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope. You speak love. You speak life. Some days the tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from our lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like a fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak the life with the things you say. So speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive. As soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life. It is one of the most unselfish things you can do. Is when you, another form of taking your eyes off yourself and your issues and just on purpose look at somebody else, observe something about them, and give a genuine, honest, heartfelt word of encouragement in life. It's just amazing. We can do that. Husband, wives, parents, child, friends, all these different relationships, a lot of times to really stop and deliberately speak life. We have that power in our tongue. We forget about it, but it's there, and it's amazing what can happen when we take the time to speak those words. You know, I'm reminded of a friend that I had back in high school named Dan, okay? I remember something. He had signed my yearbook. And Dan, you know, you know, if you're in high school, you understand, I had a class of like 400 people, so I had a lot of people in my class, but you got the friends that you're really close to, you know, that you write volumes in the yearbook, and then you got your friends that are just kind of, they're there, they're cool, they're nice, but you really don't get to know them, but they're nice people, you like them, respect them, whatnot. And then you've got, you know, the people that are too stuck up to even write in your yearbook, you know. So you got kind of those, you got those different classes of people that you're dealing with. But this Dan was not really a close friend. He was a good guy. We played football together. We kind of had a lot of classes together. We liked the similar things, computers and math and different things like that. And so I was really surprised when I read his yearbook entry. And it was not long. It was just, you know, it correlated with our friendship. You know, it's kind of just a nice, medium, succinct. But he just said, "Hey, Ed, it's just something complimentary. I appreciate your work ethic in football and school and whatnot." But then he said, "I don't like it when people say, quote, 'I know you'll succeed at whatever you do,' because they can't really know that." He said, "But Ed, I think you're going places. I think you're going to make it big. Your friend Dan." I thought, wow. My first thought, that's probably the nicest thing anybody has ever written in my yearbook. My next thought was, oh no, I hope I didn't tell him he would succeed at whatever he does in his yearbook. A lot of kids, you can get on autopilot, get cliche, and, you know, it's possible. I don't even know to this day. I can't quite remember. I was just like, Lord, did I? But, you know, that was 31 years ago. And those words are still in me today, inspiring me today. I hadn't talked or seen Dan in 31 years. I don't even know quite where he is, but his words, I still carry around in me. You know, when you just sense somebody sees you and really believes in you, those words are really powerful. Somebody once said, the most influential people are not the people in your life that you believed in, but they were the people who believed in you. And I can say Dan was one of those guys who just believed in me. Just very candid. It was very authentic, very sincere. Thought, wow, we wield tremendous power with our words. The things that we can say, that we can speak life. You can see why the scripture is so powerfully impactful as far as saying, you know, speak those things. What about those situations even when God would use you to bring correction? I love this. This is Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you're also tempted. Amplified. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. And of course, the message probably says it the straightest. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. It doesn't mean that we can't say words at times that could be a corrective in nature, but I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be gentle. It'll be as the Spirit of God leads. You know, again, we don't see this in the political system, right? We don't see this in the exchanges and things like that. And again, like, you know, political election sermon series, this is an important one to remember, that as we're watching that this is how we live. This is how God has called us to live. To be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be merciful, to be compassionate. This is the character, the godly character that God wants us to have as believers. So speaking life to one another, it is a powerful reminder that you can make a difference. In fact, I guarantee if you've been living for God for any amount of time, the Spirit of God in you, you have made a difference. Words you may have even forgotten you said that you've spoken into people's lives that to this day they're carrying in their hearts and it's sustaining them because you took the time. Again, it's one of the most unselfish things you can do. Another powerful way to get you off the merry-go-round of self-seeking is to say, okay, Lord, show me how to bless somebody. Show me how to just, I want to, that's what I said, don't look out on your own things, but for the things of others. Very powerful thing. Praise God. So, not only that, but there's also speaking life to you. You know, the Bible says some powerful things about when you speak life. And when we're talking about speaking life to you, I just love to come back to the story of David. David, when he had returned from battle, it was a situation where his wives and their children, all the wives and the children were taken. And David was going to probably be, well, they were talking about stoning him because the guys were so mad at David that they weren't here for, you know, to defend and protect their wives and children. So the story simply goes, this is a very summarized part of what I want to get across this morning. But so David and his men came to the town, and behold, it was burned, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the men with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him because of the souls of them that were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There are going to be times where you have to encourage and strengthen yourself. Praise God for the brothers and the sisters and different things like that when we can have people come and speak life and encourage us. But there will be times when you can speak life and encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, one of the New Testament instructions that we have is simply this. Philippians, when the Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, think about these things. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I love this passage of Scripture because when we're talking about speaking life to yourself, sometimes people can kind of get that confused with, you know, self-help stuff, okay, or just some kind of a psychological babble, all right? No, there are spiritual truths that are here in God's Word for us believers. And it's in the context of anxiety. Philippians 4:6 is talking about anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. I'm glad there's not a period there instead of a comma. He didn't just say, be anxious for nothing, deal with it. No, he said, be anxious for nothing, and then he shows us how to do that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. In other words, there's an exchange for an anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he doesn't stop there. I got the anxious thought. He's saying, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to take that anxious thought, and I'm going to turn it into a prayer request. God, I'm anxious about this thing right now. Peter would say, cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Either way you want to look at it, it's the same action. I'm taking this anxious thought. And many times you don't know what you don't know. That's why you're anxious. God, I get this loud impression in my mind. You know, I don't know if it's from the devil. I don't know if you're trying to show me something. I don't know if it's part of both. It's confusing. And I know that from the Word, that demonic wisdom, you know, there's confusion in every evil work. So I know that there's something here that is absolutely wrong that is trying to bring me down. But there's something that seems so compelling and so true about this. So God, I'm talking this out. I'm just saying, if there's anything there that I need to know, I'm placing it in your hand. I'm casting the care of that over on you. You know, when it comes to fear and strife and uncertainty type things, you can turn that around into a prayer request and say, God, here it is. I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. I'm giving it to you in the name of Jesus. And if there's anything that I need from this, then you show me. But I am getting it. It's kind of like when you got your to-do list. There's something about writing it down on paper as opposed to keeping it all in your head. And that's really what you're doing in prayer. You're not keeping these thoughts and these situations and these hypotheticals in your mind. You're speaking them out in prayer. Praise God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. I am praying them out in the same way I'd write them down. And I'm praying them out to you, Father God. Show me, lead me, guide me. And then what does he say? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. He doesn't say, we'll give you the answer to your question. He said, it'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It'll keep your heart and your mind grounded in Christ. But finally, you have a part to play. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, noble, just, this is a follow-through to that anxious thought. In other words, when you are in anxiety, you're not thinking of things that are true and honest and pure and just and noble. You're thinking of the worst thing that could happen. You get the worst case scenario. You're just seeing all the worst, the negative, bad, the hurtful, the painful. And so that's there by design, spiritually, as a follow-up to what you just got done praying. And so what you're doing then, and that is where you're going to begin to say, you're going to begin to stand on those things that are true and honest and just. Let me tell you something that fits all those criteria. The Word of God, the promises of God's Word fits that criteria. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's true. It's honest. It's just. It's pure. It's lovely. It's of good report. It's virtuous. It's praiseworthy. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. It's true. It's honest. It's just. It's pure. It's lovely. Praise God. If you have strife and bitter envy in your heart, glory not, this wisdom doesn't come from above. Praise God, that's true, that's honest, it's just, it's right. I know it. The truth of God's word is what keeps your mind grounded. And there's a connection between that peace ruling in your heart and you meditating on those things. And that will take the form of speaking. And I just want to close with this psalm real quick, because I think here we see a psalm of David that perfectly exemplifies the pattern we just looked at here. Psalm, David starts out here, you know, in prayer and supplication. He says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. Have you ever had people talk about you? Say things. David had people talking about him. They were saying things. And David was actually quoting the very things they were saying about him back to God. They're saying this, God. This is what they're saying. This is prayer mode. He's in first-person prayer mode. He goes on to say, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. He's talking back to God, and he's declaring the faithfulness of who God is to him. Then he says, I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me from his holy hill. And then here we go. Verse 5, this is kind of the piece that passes understanding. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Think about that. He had supernatural sleep in the midst of that. And then he finally says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who've set themselves against me all around. Here, he's not praying anymore. He's speaking something. He's declaring something. He's not talking to God. He's declaring out loud to himself, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Why? Because Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. He's declaring it. He's saying it. It would be like one of us saying, praise God again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Others are declaring, I've prayed, I've asked God, and I'm following through, and I'm declaring his word. I'm believing, I'm standing. That's a form of meditating on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. It's the way we keep ourselves. There's a speaking over our own lives. Yes, there's power when we speak to God. Life. There's power when we speak to one another in life. There is power in our own lives when we declare over our own lives that same word to us. And it's a good thing. It's a God thing. You know, when David got up, he didn't say, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. He said, I'll lay down and sleep. I woke and the Lord sustained me. You know, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. No, we're not talking about that, are we? We're not talking about a positive self-help, you know, based on emotion and inspiring, making you feel good. We're talking about the authority of God's word. There's authority. And that authority goes to your very spirit being. It causes you to stand up on the inside. You can sometimes even forget that who you are on the inside till you stand up after a while in the Spirit of God. But there is a strengthening and a speaking. Speaking life to you, that's important. So we have tremendous power with our words. We can speak life to God. We can speak life to God in the form of praise and worship, kind of get ourselves reset, focused. That's really how we come into those green pastures and those still waters. We get ourselves focused on the greatness of God, who he is, worshiping him. And again, it's not a Sunday morning for a half hour thing. That's just part of a continual praise. I like how Hebrews says the continual praise, the continual fruit of our lips. So there's just different ways throughout our week we can find. And I'm going to have to tell you this. When you start doing this, it's very unnatural. You may not be used to praising God, you know, when you get up in the morning. You may not be used to praising God before you go to bed, or maybe you find a spot and it's like, I don't usually do this. But I'll tell you what, if you'll do it by faith and worship God, the same Holy Spirit, the same power of God, the same incredible grace of God comes on you when you worship and speak life to God. And again, speaking life to each other, man, that's a good time where you just say, Lord, show me who and how and what to say, to just speak life in words of encouragement and minister to them. And then finally, don't be squeamish about declaring those promises over your own life. David wasn't squeamish. I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Was that arrogance? Was that presumption? No. That was a man who cried out to his God, who's standing in his promises, who slept and awoke, and the Spirit of God sustained him, and he declared the provision of God in his life. It wasn't a positive self-help. It was a God help through God's word. And I'll tell you what, again, something if you're not used to doing it, it will seem kind of weird, strange, but speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual song, speaking, declaring the word, keeping your mind in that place of things that are true, honest, just, which is the promises of God, there's power. There's power in that. And that's the way God designed it. That's the way he ordained it. Again, not many words. You know, God doesn't hear you from your many words, vain repetition stuff, but it's when you're speaking the word of God according to what he has said. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning that we have the ability to speak life, Lord. We can go against the grain of our feelings sometime and bless those who curse us and to do good to those who despitefully use us and do wrong things. We can actually go against the grain of how we feel and overcome evil with good. We can on purpose speak life into people's lives. We can go against the grain of our circumstances and the things we don't know and speak life to you and worship you. Like Paul and Silas thrown in jail, the inner jail, beat on their backs and just by faith worship you in the midnight hour. Going against the grain and speaking life, those chains fall and people get saved and delivered. And Father God, in our own lives, like David, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord by your word. We can say, there is no God like my God. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the bright and morning star. And he's my God, my Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. There is none like you. And you love me. And you save to the uttermost. You never leave me. You never forsake me. Nothing can get in between me and this love that you have for me. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We thank you for the amazing love, the amazing power that we have to speak life, to call upon your name and get saved, and then live a life of words of faith that sustain us and strengthen others. We thank you for it, Father God. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. We thank you for all these things, Father God. We give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. Well, thanks for staying with me this morning. I know we went a little bit long, but just wanted to make sure we kind of got that full import of just the importance, the value of speaking life. And sometimes you'll find yourself saying some of, you know, just, wow, why didn't I say that a long time ago? You know, it's just amazing. It's just right there. Things that we can say that minister life and power and strength. I'm going to say this too as a little aside, but in the workplace where you've got fellow employees, and when you communicate upward to your boss things of life to your fellow employees, things of encouragement, things that are really, that bless you, your bosses see that. They go, wow, there's a secure person. There's a secure person who loves people. You know, somebody like that is a person you can trust. It's a person that you can advance. It's a person who cares about people. It's the kind of person you want in management. There's a blessing. There's a favor that comes when you speak life. It doesn't just bless you. People notice it. And it will bless your life. Praise God. You'll see good days.